Thank you. From Luke, the 21st chapter, the first four verses, the Bible says, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus Christ said, this poor widow has given more than all of the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. The words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May some feel the generosity of God's Holy Spirit in their lives. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome once again to the Jesus Christ Said Ministries. It's so good to be with all of you, especially those of you who cannot, for whatever reason, get out to go to church. Consider this your weekly radio church, your weekly worship service. Welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. Our website, which has the email address and contact information, along with last week's sermon, both in text and audio on it, is www.jesuschristsaid.com, just like the name of our ministry, JesusChristSaid.com. No spaces, JesusChristSaid.com. And our mailing address is Post Office Box 162-712, Fort Worth, Texas 76161. I'll repeat those at the end of today's program, and all of the addresses are on our website. Today's Bible reading is from the Contemporary English Version of the Bible, the Book of Psalms. In the Old Testament, the first chapter beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, God blesses those people who refuse evil advice and won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Instead, the law of the Lord makes them happy, and they think about it day and night. They are like trees growing beside a stream, trees that produce fruit in season and always have leaves. Those people succeed in everything they do. It isn't true of those who are evil, because they are like straw blown by the wind. Sinners won't have an excuse on the day of judgment, and they won't have a place with the people of God. The law protects everyone who follows him. The Lord protects everyone who follows him. But the wicked follow a road that leads to ruin. That's our Bible reading for today from the Old Testament, Psalm 1. May God's mercy be upon us all, and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. I opened with the reading of Luke 21, the 21st chapter, the first four verses about the widow. And now from Mark comes the same story, Mark 12, 44 through, or 41 through 44. The Bible says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, M-I-T-E-S, mites, which make a quadrans, Q-U-A-D-R-A-N-S. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Now let's put this in perspective. A mite was the smallest coin in Jerusalem during the ministry of Jesus Christ. According to the website www.forumancientcoins.com, quote, these coins are bronze, these coins are bronze lepton, L-E-P-T-O-N, and Pruta, P-R-U-T-A-H, of Alexander Janius, the Hasmonean king of Judea, from 103 to 76 B.C. Now, although these coins were minted long before Christ's lifetime, they were still in circulation during the first century A.D. Because leptons and Pruta were the lowest denomination coins that circulated in Jerusalem during Christ's lifetime, they are believed to be the coins referred to in the biblical story of the poor widow. The lepton is the very smallest denomination and is probably the true widow's mite. In fact, the lepton is probably the lowest denomination coin ever struck by any nation in all of history. Lepton and Proutah were carelessly and crudely struck, usually off-center and on small flans, F-L-A-N-S. Because they circulated for a long time, they are usually very worn. Legends are almost always unreadable. The actual size of a Proutah is less than a half an inch in diameter. The lepton is usually about the same diameter as, now get this, as a pencil eraser, unquote. That's from the website www.forumancientcoins.com, the Forum of the Ancient Coins. And you can actually go there, go online, and buy a replica of a lepton or one of the widow's mite. It's also interesting to me that a subatomic particle is named the lepton. Being small, after all, a subatomic particle is so small that it takes a very powerful and special type of microscope to see one. The lepton is aptly named. Someone in science who specializes in quantum mechanics knew the Bible and knew this story of the widow and her two mighty mites. I've always said there's a closer tie between science and God than most of us realize. And isn't it amazing that Christ, that is God here on earth, would know that the lepton was then and still is, 2,100 years later, still is the smallest coin ever minted? I guess it's not so amazing when you think that God knows everything. Now, Jesus Christ used this as an example to us that it's not how much we give, it's what we give. Now, you see, this widow gave all she had, and Jesus Christ could look into her soul, and he knew that what she was giving. He knew that she was giving all that she had. Widows during the time of Jesus couldn't go out and get a job the way that women can today. So she was stuck. Now, women today have it tough in today's society. There's the so-called glass ceiling. This is today we're talking about, where a woman working in business today will hit this unseen, therefore it's called glass because you can see right through it, but you hit it nonetheless, hit this unseen ceiling at work in the progression of their career and can't go any further in promotions into upper management or make more money. Some women do get into upper management, and when they do an excellent job by and large, but most women are frozen out of upper management by men. They hit this glass ceiling, and that's as far as they're going to go. We're having a presidential debate right now here in America, and one of the leading candidates for the Democratic Party is a woman, Hillary Clinton. And I'm told many citizens, especially many followers of Christ, are not planning on voting for her just because she's a woman. Regardless of whether or not she would make the best president, she won't get a chance in some voters' minds because she's a woman. Now, that's a shame. And in fact, to me at least, it's anti-Christian, since Christ told us to use our talents, and one of her talents seems to be good governance. Now, I'm not saying to go out and vote for Hillary. I may not vote for her myself. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that some people will not vote for her for president because she's a woman. And then there's the public school system here in the United States. The teachers are mostly women, and that's one of the reasons that the pay is so low compared to other professions. Because there are so many women, the pay is kept down. And because the pay is relatively low, not many men go into the profession of public school teacher. And that deprives our boys and our girls and our young adults of male guidance during their formative years. This is producing an unbalanced society, in my opinion, that's beginning to show up in the many school shootings that are taking place throughout our nation. And Christ was right there 2,100 years ago, pointing out this woman, this widow, who was giving everything she had, two mites, two of the smallest coins ever minted in the world, and she was giving, in the eyes of God, more than those with much more money, what they were giving. God had blessed those others who were coming to the altar to give, and were they returning God's love? No. But that widow was. In her poverty, she seems to be the richest of the people giving to God's treasury that day. Paul wrote to Timothy in the 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, Paul wrote, charge them that are rich in this present world, and that includes this world that we're living in right now, that they are not high-minded, nor have their hopes set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed. You know, it's a Christian failing here in America that we seek material wealth over God's blessings. If we would pursue God's riches rather than man's riches, we would become truly a nation of wealth. Look around you. Doesn't it seem that the more things we have, the less satisfied we seem to be? And why is that? Is it because the widow who put into the treasury her two mites while Jesus watched, and as Mark said in his gospel, quote, and many who were rich put in much, quote, unquote. So Jesus wasn't against their giving to God's treasury. He was trying to give us a lesson in giving, wasn't he? Many who were rich put in much, and yet the widow who only put in two mites, two of the smallest coins ever minted anywhere on earth, caught the eye of God, caught the eye of Jesus. Why? Well, perhaps those two mites, those two small coins, represent something to God that the widow gave that the rich are not and were not giving. Perhaps one coin represented the body. Now, if we give our bodies to God, what happens? What happens in our life that doesn't happen in the lives of those who do not offer their bodies to God? First, we follow God's commandments of love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we don't love ourselves, how can we love our neighbors? If we hate ourselves for whatever reason, we can then hate our neighbors. So the first thing we see happens when we begin to follow Christ is we give God our bodies. We begin to love ourselves. Now, I'm not talking narcissus here, where you can believe yourself the only beautiful person and your beauty eventually kills you, as it did Narcissus. No, I'm talking about liking yourself. Now, we get on touchy ground here, and each of us has our own path led by God to liking ourselves. But until you do begin to like yourself, you will not be able to truly love your neighbor as Jesus Christ commanded us to do. And just as the widow saw God's treasury and went to it to put in her two mites, one of them being her body that she had given to God, we have to see God's treasury in our everyday life. We have to see our neighbor in order to love our neighbor. Now, here in America, that's a particularly difficult order. Most of us don't know our neighbors. So how can we love our neighbors? If we don't know our neighbors, how can we love them? That we don't know our neighbors shows up in traffic patterns in large cities like here in Fort Worth and Dallas. Look around you at the traffic that you're stuck in. It's as a result of not getting with our neighbors more often and sharing rides and coming up with mass transit systems that would serve our neighborhoods. We prefer to be in our cars, our SUVs, by ourselves, without the nuisance or the inconvenience of having our neighbors around. So the next time you're stuck in a traffic jam, just remember that's as a result of us not loving our neighbors as Jesus Christ said for us to do. And when we give our bodies to God, we say we trust God to protect us. That we here in America, the lone superpower in the world, tells us, shouts at us, really, that we do not trust in God. That instead we trust in guns, and we trust in tanks, and we trust in the weapons of war. So the first coin, the first mite that the widow gave to God's treasury was her body. Now the second coin, the second mite, was her soul. Our body represents our present and our past. Our soul represents our future. We can tell that the soul of our nation is not being given to God because of all the consumerism. We consume technology. Every month it seems there has to be some new instrument come out that keeps us amused, keeps us from getting bored in life. a new computer system or a new BlackBerry or a new cell phone or a new car, a new TV game show that'll keep us distracted from the weariness of life. Anything to keep us from looking at the sunset and seeing God in the clouds or feeling the love of God for our fellow human beings. No, right now we'd rather bomb the hell out of them than to love the hell out of them. One of the things that Jesus Christ told us was to love our enemies. My feeling is that old men order young men to go to war, and young men, and now young women too, sorry to say, are more than willing to go off to a good fight because life to them is so boring. Such wonderful opportunity waits for us on the battlefield, the opportunity to show our mettle, our courage, what we're made of. You don't believe it? Then why do young men especially get excited when the talk turns to war? Most are not that excited about going to church to worship God, but begin to talk about the rigors of combat, and boy, they come alive. There was a shooting in school just this past week. Yes, another one. A boy 14 years old that his mother had bought guns for. Two guns. He brought two guns to school and shot up two classmates and two teachers. Some of you may or may not know that computer war games occupy a young adult male's life here in America, and that the gaming industry rakes in 50, are you ready for this? 50 billion, that's billion with a B, $50 billion a year. So no, we're not giving our bodies or our souls to God as this widow did when she gave her two mites to God's treasury as Jesus Christ looked on. This is what Jesus is trying to tell us. Not that he loves the widow and hates the wealthy, but that the wealthy, and that's us here in America today, we do not give to God the way we should. We've got so many blessings, but we don't give to God the way we should. James, the brother of Jesus, said in the second chapter, beginning in verse 5, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble on one point, he is guilty of all." And Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," Jesus Christ said. Mammon is M-A-M-M-O-N, and according to the Oxford Dictionary from 1992, it defines mammon as god of wealth, regarded as evil or immoral. Those who worship mammon are greedy people who value money too highly. That's according to the Oxford Dictionary, 1992. Jesus Christ said in Matthew, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" When you approach God's treasury, are you like the wealthy and give some but not all to God? Or are you like the widow who had very little material blessings to put back into God's treasury but gave her all to God? Did you give your all, your two mites, those mighty mites of God, to God's treasure? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one of God, the one that is God, you can change that. You can share your life with God by giving your life to God, by giving your two mites to God. You can ask Jesus Christ to open your eyes to see God in the ordinary things around you in your life, the ordinary sunset that is so extraordinary. And you can do that right now. No matter what is in your past, and it cannot be as bad as mine, you can become a follower of Jesus Christ now, right now, in the twinkling of an eye. If you're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to letting your own Garden of Eden grow thick with the thorns of the devil and the world and all of its false wealth, if your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, ask for forgiveness now. Pray with me right now. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but pray with me right now. Just a soft prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me, by learning how I can give my two mites as the widow did. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Once you begin to follow Jesus Christ, you will never be the same again. And then Wednesday evening, find a church close by, no matter what denomination. We're non-denomination here on the radio. We're all denominations. If you're physically able, you go to that church that's close by. Many churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays. And Bible study is the very best way to get to know God, by studying His Word. And then next Sunday, go to church. Any church, different church if you want to, but go. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. You go to church, any church. Forget about denomination and look for the love shining in the eyes and the smiles of those churchgoers. Find a church, find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God, not some instrument of some political party, and find that one true church for you. No matter what the name is on the outside of a church, it's what's on the inside that counts. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe that's devoted to God's love, be the guiding beacon of our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation, to be at peace as a nation with the world and with each other. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can, as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light and let the love of Christ, from which all humanity flows, into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and of soul to see you in the ordinary things around you, as well as the pages of the Bible, your holy word. Give us the strength to be good stewards of your church and to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves as the widow gave of her small two mites, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Christ, to be that generosity of God here on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. In future broadcasts, I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home. My prayer to God is that someday soon, all this fighting in these wars, everybody can go home safely and the wars will be over. Hello to all of our shut-ins today at the Manor Care on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, where Pat and I gave the worship services this morning. It was sure good to see all of our friends over there. I'd especially like to keep in touch with you young men and women, our future and our hope. Please write or email me and let's work together for the love of Christ to become a reality in your life and those around you. You can help Pat and me in this ministry by sending a love donation of any amount to us. Your generosity, God's generosity, living in you will be known by God and will help us spread the good news of what Jesus Christ said. We must have your help if the Jesus Christ said ministries are to continue. and to grow. Send your love offering to the Jesus Christ Said Ministries at Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas 76161. Be sure and keep posted on the Jesus Christ Said Ministries by going to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. And if you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song, Blessed Assurance, had the tune written by Phoebe Knapp, and the lyrics then were written in 1873 by Fanning Crosby, who in 1820 was born blind, and she remained blind all of her life. Fanny was nationally known as Aunt Fanny, and in the late 19th and early 20th century, she was known for writing many gospel tunes that we sing in church today, including, of course, Blessed Assurance and Jesus is Tenderly Calling You Home, and Praise Him, Praise Him. Now, the singer, Sandy Posey, was born in World War II in Jasper, Alabama, and was a country star in the 1960s with hits such as Born a Woman and Single Girl. And this is from the album Country Gospel Favorites. Here's Sandy Posey and Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory to find. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior are happy and blessed, watching and waiting. Love. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
That's Sandy Posey singing a song called Blessed Assurance. You know, the widow gave such a small amount compared to the wealth that was poured into the God's treasury that day by those that had been blessed so much by God as Jesus Christ looked on. And yet Jesus chose to tell us about the widow giving all she had, that compared to those who were much wealthier than her, she gave her whole being, her body, and her soul to God. Will you do the same? Please come back next time. We're here on the radio. If you'd like me to come to your church and preach what Jesus Christ said, please contact me at my website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. Pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In His name I pray, amen. Until next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.